The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Welcome. This is a wonderful Easter season. I know we think of Easter as a couple Sundays ago, but this is an Easter season when we celebrate Jesus is risen. Now, today's story, which I'm sure you're going to talk about in Sunday school, has to do with fish. Have any of you ever gone fishing? Good. Have you ever caught a fish?
Well, I don't have to turn the water.
What?
I had to
go
from the water.
Oh. And you? How was it? Fun. You're what? He catches fish. Does he do that for a living, or is that on the Sundays or Saturdays for recreation? You're not sure, but he catches fish. And you've been with him, right? And you said you caught a fish? Was it fun? A minnow. Oh. And you? I think you raised your hand. In a pond. Yeah. Well, today we talk about Peter, who was a fisherman. And this church we're in is St. Peter's. It's named after Peter the fisherman. And after the resurrection, you know, Jesus had called him to follow Jesus. And now Peter didn't know what he was going to do. So he went, he said, I'm going fishing. But what happened? He fished all night and didn't catch a single thing. All night. And then Jesus appears, and there's so many fish, he can barely load them in his net. So that has to do with when Jesus is with us, we can do a lot. Yes?
I didn't Jesus take all the fish.
Jesus, no, he actually left them with Peter and his disciples, but it is a good idea that he wanted the fish. He actually has used fish in some of his other stories as well. But I think when we think about Jesus being with us all the time, which Jesus is with us all the time, that it allows us to do more than we can do by ourselves, because Jesus blesses our work. And I thank you for coming up here this morning. At this point, I think someone will take the Bible off the table. Yes, would you do that for me? I think Josh had his hand up first. I'm sorry, Cameron. Oh, sorry. No, sorry. Yeah. Noah. Would you please do that?
A reading from Acts. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, Who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and through his eyes, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. Word of Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 30 responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing to the Lord, you servants of his. Give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness. For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. And you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with the Lord, saying, What profit is there in my blood? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Revelation. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, he showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the other, to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not that far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire here, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he'd said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I find it interesting that Jesus' first word to Peter and his last word to Peter were, "Follow me." Now, Peter was a fisherman, or so we're told. The only thing is that if we look through all the gospel stories, the only time Peter caught any fish at all was when Jesus told him where to put his nets. So, but fishing was the life that Peter knew before he met Jesus. He was a fisherman. Then one day, Jesus sees Peter and his brother Andrew casting a net in the sea, and the first thing Jesus says to Peter is, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And so began Peter's 3-year journey, traveling with Jesus and being with him through amazing, wonderful, and difficult times. But these last few weeks have been really rough for Peter. Even though he resisted, he allowed Jesus to wash his feet. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and it was there that he cut off the ear of the high priest's slave. Yikes. When Jesus was arrested, Peter followed behind him. He denied Jesus 3 times, and when the cock crow, Peter wept. Peter ran to the tomb on Easter morning and found the tomb empty, with the linen lying there. He was in the locked room when Jesus appeared and breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Peter was Jesus' go-to disciple. Peter was the rock. But now what? What now? Has this last 3 years been for nothing? What do I do now? For most of us, when everything in life seems to be out of order, and you just can't seem to figure out what is happening, it's easy to revert to what we know, to our comfort foods, to comfortable surroundings, and comfortable activities. And this is apparently what Peter did. Gathered there together, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples, Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. So when the choice was between something new and exciting, very challenging, and perhaps even a bit dangerous, or going back to what was familiar, the choice was, I'm going fishing. Jesus promised them early in their careers, follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. But now we're back fishing for fish. Well, maybe not yet. They went out that night and they caught nothing. As I reminded us earlier, without Jesus, they can do nothing, not even catch a fish. Now, there's someone yelling from the shore, you haven't caught any fish, have you? Cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some there. Can't you just imagine what Peter's thinking? Are you kidding me? It is the same water on both sides of the boat, and we've been here all night. The fish just aren't here. And if you know so much about fishing, why aren't you out here? But whatever, it's worth a try. We don't have anything to lose. Peter puts down his net. The catch is more than they could handle. For the disciples in that boat, this is kind of like deja vu. Something like this happened before, back when they were first beginning their journey with Jesus. Remember, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a ways from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night long and we've caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. It's from this memory of this experience of Jesus providing such abundance from out of nothing, that the beloved disciple recognized Jesus as the one calling them from the shore. He exclaimed, it's the Lord! Jesus was not recognized by his voice or his looks. And you might say, well, this is because they were a football field's distance from the shore. Jesus was recognized in the outcome, in the abundance, the over-the-top abundance. Just like at the feeding of the 5,000, just like the wine at Cana, but more than the recognition that it's Jesus calling from the shore, giving them directions on how to fish, it's the recognition that Jesus is still with us. Jesus is still with us, providing abundantly through us. After all, the fish didn't just crawl up on the shore. It was through the efforts of the disciples, through you and through me, that the miracles today are manifest. I think back a couple weeks ago to the Easter breakfast here. Abundant. Abundant would be a good word for it. Breakfast was provided for whoever came. And we didn't know how many people were going to come, but it was provided for everyone who came, and there was more than enough. Baskets overflowing and leftovers, abundance. But sometimes we don't recognize Jesus in the abundance that is created. this is a sign of Jesus with us. As we heard in John 15, not today, but earlier in our lives, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. All our efforts will be for nothing unless it is with Jesus. We do not know why Jesus came back to have this little breakfast on the beach with his disciples. Maybe, even though Jesus had appeared in the upper room twice after the resurrection, the experience of the weeks leading up to the crucifixion just put the disciples on overload. You know, when so much is going on, you can't absorb it. You know, so maybe Jesus came back for this last time so they could really experience it while they were taking a break fishing by the lake. They needed Jesus. They needed Jesus with them. They needed reassurance, kind of like a booster shot, putting them back on course. After breakfast on the beach, that first Easter morning, very similar to the breakfast at St. Peter's, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he'd asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus' last words to Peter were, "Follow me." Isn't this just like us? We need Jesus' presence with us too, reassuring us, putting us back on course. That is why we come here to this table, to be reassured that Jesus is still with us, to be reminded that we have a part in God's abundance to the world, that God takes what we offer, our effort, our time, our resources, and blessing it, there is life abundant. Thanks be to God.